Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. As many of you know now, Dr. Youngblood is celebrating the homecoming of his son, Gene Youngblood Jr., who passed away a little while ago after complications of COVID-19. They had his homecoming in Jacksonville, Florida this past Saturday, and now the family is traveling to Virginia to have the homecoming with other family members there in Virginia, which was Gene's home, Gene Youngblood Jr.'s home. So it is my honor to sit in for Dr. Youngblood today as host on Face the Nation. I also have joining me today Chris Hughes. Dr. Chris Hughes is one of America's most important, influential, and respected voices on cultural and political issues. Chris Hughes is the founder and chairman of the Citizens for American Foundation, one of the nation's leading advocacy and grassroots public policy organizations. A powerful communicator, Chris Hughes is a Christian political advocate, Second Amendment defender, Christian apologist, and author. He is the host of The Christian Perspective with Chris Hughes. Chris, thank you for joining us today.
Hey, Mike, thank you so much for letting me be with you. It's an honor to be on the show today.
Well, we're glad we could have you, and I'm sure that Dr. Youngblood appreciates us sitting in and hosting for him as he takes care of those family members. Listeners, I've hosted for Dr. Youngblood many times before, but just as a reminder, I'm from the Panhandle in Florida, Pensacola, Florida. I'm a former Florida state legislator, served for 5 years in the Florida House in District 1 and in District 2. I'm a small business owner. I own an insurance and financial services agency for the past 31 years. And before that, I was active duty Air Force after graduating from the Air Force Academy in 1980, who, by the way, this past weekend, we had our 40th reunion in Colorado Springs. It was actually 40 plus one because it was canceled last year. But it's amazing to me to think that 40 years ago, I graduated from that school. And Chris, I think you would agree with me that time just flies.
Yeah, we're getting old, Mike. It's pretty scary, isn't it?
Well, I'm not getting old. I don't agree with that.
I went to a reunion myself this weekend, and I was looking at everybody else. And, you know, as you age, I won't say we're old, okay? As you age, at least for me, I don't realize how old I look to other people. And I was looking around at all the classmates, and I'm thinking, man, I don't even know some of these guys. They look so old. And then my daughter informed me that I look the same way. So we change over time.
No, that's the truth, Chris. Everyone I looked at, I thought, man, they look old. And they were probably thinking the same thing when they saw me. Okay, well, Let's Face the Issue. It's brought to you in part by Tools for a Time. Tools for a Time is an outdoor dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own their own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for a Time also has a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, including Honda and Echo generators. Tools for a Time staff can answer all of your homeowner and professional and backup power equipment questions. They're located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, near the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295, right at the base of the gigantic 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying 24/7. They can be reached online at toolsforatime.com. That's toolsforatime.com. Chris, we're going to be discussing many different issues today, those that are facing the nation and facing us as Christians, and how we should, as Christians, respond to those. There are several things that are going on, and Chris, I will say this. I pretty much hate to turn on the news, even listening to the radio when I'm in my car, because it seems like every day is bringing some new disaster. By the way, man-made created disaster by this Biden regime and other globalists around the world.
Mike, it's a crazy time that we live in, and I agree with you. I mean, every day we wake up to something new, and it's stuff that even 2 years ago we would have never dreamed would be happening in our nation right now, and it seems to be going on at an accelerated pace, not just in our country, but across the nation. And I know that many of our listeners are Christians, and I believe it's just a preparation for what the Bible describes as an end time to get ready and wake us up. We need to pay attention. Jesus is trying to get our attention before he returns again.
That's right, Chris. And if you would like to join the call-in number is 904-831-0917. That's 904-831-0917. And Chris, one of the items I would like to start off with is that how we are seeing that the Biden administration has determined that these parents who are dissenting about critical race theory, who are dissenting about pornography being taught to our children in the school, that they are to be called domestic terrorists. And he has now made the Department of Justice Secretary Garland, who has weaponized the FBI against these parents who are merely peacefully coming to school board meetings, making their voices heard as they should, as our Constitution says we can, who want to stop this nonsense of critical race theory being taught in our schools, and also want to stop this pornography that is being taught in our schools, in these public schools. And before I get your comment on that, Chris, I guess I would say this. Here's the bottom line. Parents, if at all possible, if you have any ability at all in your power, get your children out of government public schools. Get them out of those schools. We have seen a mass exodus of that happening just in the past year. Just since the Biden administration has come into power. Last year, homeschooling was 3% of the population. This year, it is 11%. That is huge. That is millions of parents taking their children out of public schools and doing it at home after they saw the disaster of what their children were being taught. Because of COVID last year, so many were being taught from home through the internet and so forth, and they could see firsthand what these teachers are teaching in this school and how anti-American, how pro-leftist, how pro-debauched they are. We saw that, which, by the way, leads me to this too, Chris. I am a big proponent of having cameras in the classrooms and letting parents see what is going on in their classrooms. But what are your thoughts about that, Chris, and also about Biden declaring that parents coming to school board meetings are now to be called domestic terrorists?
Well, it's pretty scary, Mike. They've basically weaponized the Patriot Act, which was intended to track real terrorists, not parents, giving them permission, in at least the eyes of the Biden administration, to spy on parents and arrest them if they do something that they feel threatening, threatened by in any way, shape, or form. I was listening to Terry McAuliffe last night. He is a former governor of Virginia. He's running for governor again, and this conversation really sparked over some comments he made in a gubernatorial debate a little over a week ago. But Terry McAuliffe says he believes, hey, you have a right as a parent to complain during an election and how you elect somebody, but after that, it's over. So what he's basically saying is you have no say after the election's over. And Mike, you've served in public office. We have a representative form of government, and that means that elected officials are to hear from their constituents and then make their decisions based on the representation of that constituency. And the school board is elected the same way. It is, in many cases, a five-member board. Sometimes it's different in other areas, of people elected to represent parents. And they usually parents don't go to meetings. But as you said, Mike, through COVID, parents are now starting to learn a little bit about what's going on in the classroom. And so they've been for years sitting in these school board meetings. No one shows up. And so when someone does, they don't know how to handle it because now they've been caught like a kid with their hand in the cookie jar. So it's really a scary time for us as parents if we're being told that we have no say in the education of our children. And I say we need to stand up. It's our tax dollars that pay those school board members. We pay for the school buildings. We pay for the teachers. We should have every right. God created the family. Government didn't create the family. And God gave parents the responsibility to educate and raise our children. And if the school system is not doing that, you're exactly right. We need to get our kids out of public schools and either put them in Christian schools or homeschool them at home and make sure that we know exactly what they're being taught. It's not just critical race theory, Mike. A lot of parents, you know, some parents are so big deal, I don't care. That's only because they don't know what critical race theory is. But I tell you something, the parents listening today, you need to Google something called comprehensive sexuality education. Let me say that again. It's called comprehensive sexuality education. Mike, they are handing out, I'm going to get a little graphic here. So listeners, if you have parents listening, but children listening, but they're learning in the schools. Fourth and fifth, 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds in preschool are being handed out plastic penises across the country and taught how to put condoms on them. 7- and 8-year-olds are taught in public schools through this government-funded, and by the way, it was in place under the Obama administration. President Trump did away with it, and as soon as President Biden took office, he came again, and he increased the budgets $120 million for federal funding to fund comprehensive sexuality education. They teach 7- and 8-year-olds how to masturbate in public school. They tell them that they should do anything sexually that feels good to them. And by second grade, they're telling kids that it's okay to let other children and other people touch you if it feels good. And this is just the beginning. I mean, you would be shocked. I encourage you to Google comprehensive sexuality education. And much of this curriculum, Mike, is being developed by Planned Parenthood. It's pretty scary.
Chris, we have a caller on the line, Miranda. Miranda, what is your question or comment, please?
My comment is that a few years ago in 2008, I worked as a tutor with the school did reading and math for children. But let me just tell you, they can't read and they can't do math. But I saw how they had left that state. It's like a brainwashing that the children go through. It is a very, I saw children ignorant of how many states are in the United States, what the capital of our own state is, what a county is, total of distance. And it was an education. I saw it with my own eyes, and they were very, very, the administrative people in the school systems were very hostile with us who came from the outside. And we were seeing this, and we were talking amongst ourselves about, gee, this child is in sixth grade, and they can't read on a first grade level. How did they make it there? Anyway, that's my comment. Thank you.
Well, Miranda, and you are absolutely right. Our school systems have been failing us for a long time. Let me say that differently. Our government public school systems have been failing us for a very long time. And that's why I say parents and Chris, as you so aptly stated, the responsibility of raising our children is on us. And we must get our children out of these government public schools. There are so many other options. You can homeschool. There are private schools. There are Christian schools. There's internet schools. There are charter schools. There are so many different options you have. And parents, I would encourage you, because of what we've seen with the teachers' unions, that they no longer care about teaching our children. All they care about is saving the jobs of their of the teachers so that the teachers can give more of their dues to the teachers' union. So the teachers' unions become more powerful. They then give their money to left-leaning politicians who will then get in office and continue to perpetuate this horrific public school system that we have that is not looking out for the children, but instead is looking out for the teachers, for the adults. Here's an article. Yes, Chris, go ahead.
I was just going to say it's a real indoctrination program, too. It's not just about it is about strengthening teacher unions, but they are trying to indoctrinate the next generation of citizens in the United States of America. And even if you elect certain people on the school board, many times school board members are not engaged. They never go to the schools. They don't know. You can't just stop with the school board. You've got to be involved in the schools and in the classrooms, because you have rogue teachers who are going against even policies of school board sometimes and teaching stuff that you many parents don't have a clue about. You've got to engage. Well, really, you should get your kids out, like Mike said. But if your kids are in public school, you've got to engage and know what they're being taught. I know it was intimidating for many people for years to homeschool, but now, Mike, it is so easy. A lot of it is free. There are a lot of great programs out there. You live in Pensacola, Florida. There's a school in your area, Pensacola Christian College, and they have a great curriculum called Abeka, and it is very easy to use. It's online, and it's not intimidating like it used to be. Anybody can homeschool their kids today.
That's so true, Chris. I'm now going to read a little bit from an article. It comes out of the New American. The New American has an article that was written by Selwyn Duke. I know Mr. Duke. And the title of the article is, "When Left-Wing Rioting is Dissent and Mom's Dissent is Terrorism." This is how the article begins. The Justice for J6 rally on September 18 was a bust, largely because, having seen what happened to the January 6th trespassers themselves, patriots were reluctant to put themselves in the government crosshairs. State intimidation works. Now the feds want to do the same thing with parents, often mothers, who complain at school board meetings about COVID-19 restrictions and their children's racial and sexual indoctrination. That was a word you were using, Chris. Meanwhile, when Black Lives Matter and Antifa thugs riot, they should be given space to destroy, as Baltimore mayor put it some years ago. School board meetings have become a focal point of anti-establishment, pro-virtue pushback this year, with parents taking left-wing board members to task for the outrageous curricula and regulations visited upon their kids. The board members are generally unsympathetic at the times and have even tried to silence the parents, such as cutting off their mics. Now the National Association of School Boards has gone even further, sending the federal government a letter complaining about the dissent and likening the parental pushback to domestic terrorism. Apparently, the school board oligarchy shall not be questioned, and Attorney General Merrick Garland appears to agree. The article goes on to say, and then I'll get your comments on this, Chris. The Daily Mail summarizes the story. House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy said Biden is weaponizing the DOJ to target parents seeking to be involved in their children's education. The National Association of School Boards likened parents' objections to woke school boards as a form of domestic terrorism in a letter to Biden. Azra Nomani, a mom, said, "This is what domestic terrorists looks like. You are criminalizing parenting, and you owe the people of America a swift apology." Days later, Attorney General Merrick Garland issued a memorandum to local law enforcement, saying there has been a disturbing spike in harassment against teachers Now, the FBI has been told to crack down on the issue. It's unclear what crimes they will face, but parents are being warned they face prosecution. Chris, what are your thoughts on that?
Mike, this is such a double standard when you're accusing a parent of going to a school board meeting, which is their legal right to do, and to voice their concerns about what's being taught to their children, to call that domestic terrorism. And just last week, we had a United States senator who was followed into the bathroom, I don't know if you saw that on the news, with a video camera harassing her, and the president didn't care at all. So it's okay to harass a United States senator and not even let her go to the bathroom, but a parent is a terrorist if a parent goes to a public school board meeting and speaks up on issues concerning their children. This is not a federal issue. And ladies and gentlemen listening, it is time for us as parents to stand up. You need to go to your school board meetings. They usually only meet twice a month. They don't meet very often. And they need to know that the public is not going to put up with this anymore. Mike, for years, I've told people when I travel and speak, I mean, everybody wants to get excited about who's running for president and who's running for this or that. That's all important. But in my opinion, the single most important position in elected office is the local school board, because they are forming the policy of education that will change how our nation is in the next 20 or 30 years. And they're very easy to win. I mean, most people, there's a ballot drop-off, as you know, Mike, where the people will vote for the high-profile races, and many times they won't vote for school board or mayor or some of these other lower positions. It's very easy for Christians to organize. I would challenge our Christian listeners and churches, be looking for people right now. An election year is next year. We need to find godly men and women to serve on these school boards. And if Christians will turn out and vote, we can take our public schools back. And even if we're homeschooling, and I know Mike and I are telling you that you need to homeschool and get them out of public schools, but that doesn't mean that we give up that territory. That's a mission field. And we need to elect godly men and women to those school board positions next year and turn our public schools back around.
That's right, Chris. You're so correct. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. I'm joined by Chris Hughes on today's broadcast, Let's Face the Issues. If you would like to join the conversation, the number is 904-831-0917. That's 904-831-0917. Chris, what you said is exactly right. We must get involved. Listeners, we cannot afford to not get involved in a political arena, in a political sphere. We need to get involved. We should be involved. And Jesus wants us to be involved. Mike, why would you say that? Okay, you all know the parable of Jesus who gave talents to some of the parable of a man who gave talents to those, went off on a long journey, and then came back. The one who had given 10 talents to, he said, "Look, master, I've doubled it, giving you 10 talents." What was the response of the person who came back when he saw that he changed the 10 talents into 10 more? He said, "Well done. I will put you in charge of 10 cities." Sounds like politics to me. And the same with the one who had five, who doubled it. He said, "I'll put you in charge of 5 cities." Sounds like politics to me. Jesus wants Christians involved in politics. This nation needs Christians involved in politics. Okay, I'm going to go back to this article written by The New American, and it's titled, "When Left-Wing Rioting is Dissent and Mom's Dissent is Terrorism." Okay, they were saying that those parents who show up at school board meetings who are harassing the school board meetings should be targeted. Now I'm reading back at the article. "Part of the issue is that there's no specificity as to what constitutes harassment. Of course, this makes sense. There's little the government could cite that would be illegal because the dissenting parents have virtually always been passionate but not violent. The wiggle room vague terminology affords, however, conveniently allows for persecution. Hey, your demonstration of such as telling the truth about the board made them feel unsafe. Why the Cold War era Marxists would institutionalize people for exhibiting philosophical intoxication. Today, our leftists speak of microaggressions and whiteness as a psychological defect requiring remedy. The article goes on to say, speaking of remedy, the weaponization of bureaucracy Representative McCarthy referred to as nothing new. Barack Obama said in a summer interview that Biden was essentially finishing the job of his administration. And this was appropriate. Obama had also weaponized the federal bureaucracy, an example being his use of the IRS to stifle conservative activism. This continues subsequently with the whole bureaucracy that is a deep state weaponizing itself against President Trump. Now the phenomenon is intensifying. This article makes a very good point in that this Biden administration is nothing more than a continuation of the Obama administration. Many of those with the Obama administration right now, including Secretary Blinken, Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, Susan Rice, and many others were also members of the Obama administration. And get this, ladies and gentlemen, they are also members of the Council on Foreign Relations. That's where the orders are coming from. We're hearing so many people saying, look, Biden is not making these orders. It's obvious. His dementia has set in. It's really sad to see the condition that he is in and how I believe it is elder abuse, the way they keep putting this man up front behind a microphone when obviously he doesn't know what's going on. He's in a fog. He needs medical attention. He needs help. He should not be running this country right now. And he's not. There are others who are making decisions for him, just like they were making decisions for Obama. And during the Obama administration, everybody was pointing towards George Soros, which, you know, it's appropriate, I suppose, to point in that direction. But George Soros was not doing that by himself. This was a much bigger picture. George Soros is simply funding a big portion of it. Most of it is coming from the Council on Foreign Relations, a bunch of globalists who tie themselves to the United Nations, whose goal is to make sure that the United States is brought down to a level to where they are equal with all the other states, other nations. And the whole purpose of that is so that we can have a globalist nation run by a new world order. And Chris, as you said earlier, it is all showing signs of the end times, when the Bible tells us that during the end times, there's going to be one government, one leader, who is going to fool everybody initially, saying peace, peace. Everyone's going to fall for it. And then all of a sudden, anarchy breaks loose. And it's going to be some horrific times. Chris, we have about a minute and a half left. What would you say to those parents who have been told that you are going to be called domestic terrorists now?
Well, I'd challenge them not to back down. There are things you can do. You can write letters to the editor, to your local newspaper, and they'll print them because they like controversy. It sells advertising. Yeah, you can go to meetings, learn the rules. Now, you need to be godly men and women. Don't be like these nuts that are out there burning buildings down. And that's not who God called us to be. But you can go to the meetings, and usually you have to sign in. There's usually a form you have to fill out if you want to speak, and there's usually a limited number of speakers. So get there early, get those speaker slots, follow the time limits they give you, and speak. We'll talk more about it in just a minute.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, don't go away. Join us at the break, after the break, on the other side of the hour. This is Mike Hill and Chris Hughes sending in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood on Let's Face the Issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.